thankful for you and who you are. Lord, right now we want to lift up Jackie to you this morning. As she is in pain, Father, we just ask, Lord, that you would touch her, that she would sense your presence around her, Father. Thank you for her willingness to serve with the kids, even in this time. And so, Father God, we just pray that you'd be around her, that by your Spirit she would be feeling better, Lord. And this morning, Father God, as we come before you, as we come before your word, Lord, we just want to give you this time. And Father, we just ask that you help us to see the truth of your word, Lord, that you help us to understand, Father God, everything that you are saying to us. Lord, I just pray that each one of us would grow closer in relationship to you. Father, as we look at your word this morning, I pray, Father God, that our relationship with you would matter. And that is something that we would take seriously. So, Father God, we give you this time. We ask that you be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So we are still in the book of Acts. But we are looking at the book of Acts in light of the Great Commission. And now we've talked a lot about this. We've talked a lot about Jesus' command. The task that he has for us. Go out and make disciples. And see, what's happening is God's actually inviting us to be part of his mission. God's inviting you and I to be part of what he wants to do, to reconcile the world back to him. He wants us to be part of it. He says, go out and make disciples. Be part of the mission that I have to reconcile the world back to me. But he says, and know that I am with you. So there's a big command. He says, know that I am with you. Big task, but big help. Big task, overwhelming task, if we think about it. Overwhelming task, but overwhelming help. Big help. I am with you. And the word with in Matthew 28:20 is meta. And it could be translated with, after, or behind. So Jesus says, I am with you. I am after you. I am behind you. There's a big task. A huge task, but there's big help. And not only am I with you, I'm after you, I'm pursuing you, and I am behind you. I am behind you in that task. And that should be encouraging for us today. Big task, but not alone. And I think that a lot of us are asking the question, or we should be asking, God, what is your will for me? What is your will for my life? What is it that you want me to do for you, God? And we expect God to give us a task. We expect God to show us his will for our life. But then a lot of us think that he gives us our plan, he gives us our task, he gives us his will for our life, and then we're just supposed to go out and do it on our own and figure it out. But that's not God's plan. That's not God's plan. It's not to just give you a task, as you might be given at work, and then you accomplish it and report back to your boss and say, look, this is done. No, he wants to work with you through that plan. He wants to be with you every step of the way as you accomplish his will for your life. And it's a different mindset that we have, because in our everyday walk, in our everyday lives, as we've grown up, you know, in school and in everything, we've been given something, we go and we're supposed to do it. We come back and we're told if it's done properly or not, or we are told that it was done. At the mine, we don't care if it was done properly or not, as long as it was done. But God's not saying that here. God's not asking us to fulfill this great task on our own. He actually wants to, as we work out that task, yes, he wants to give us something. He has a will for each of our lives. He wants to give us something to do, but he doesn't want us to just be left alone to do it. He actually wants to walk with you through that task to see it completed. His plan is to walk with us every step of the way. Jesus actually teaches in John chapter 15, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. If you remain in me and I in you, you can bear much fruit. But apart from me, you actually can't do anything for the kingdom. You can't do anything to glorify God apart from Jesus Christ, apart from the Lord. There was this, I heard this story of this young guy in the States. He was in seminary and he felt this call on his life to become a church planter somewhere down in the States. And he decided, he finished seminary, he was married, he and his wife kind of went off to start church planting in this area, and they were in a year or a year and a half, maybe 2 years, and just nothing was happening. And he came to the realization that this task that he had been given by God had kind of fallen apart. And he ended up having to move back home, taking his young family back home, and this and getting a job with his friend as a businessman. And later on, as he was talking with another pastor, he realized that he had been given a task, and then he thought that he just had to figure it out on his own. He was using all his own ideas, all his own tools that he had, his own skills to try and accomplish that task, and it didn't work. He wasn't working in relationship with Jesus Christ. He wasn't working in relationship from Jesus Christ. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing for the kingdom. If we don't remain in close, intimate relationship with the Lord, we can do nothing. The things we do as Christians, the things that we do are not as important as pursuing our relationship with Jesus. The things that we do are not as important as being in a close, intimate relationship with the Lord. And this is clearly taught in Matthew chapter 7 when Jesus says to the people who said, we did all these things in your name, and he says, away from me, you evildoers. And I want us to think about that again for just a quick second as we're talking about intimate relationship, because these are people who, in the name of Jesus, were trying to do things for Jesus. They were working their own plan in the name of Jesus, but they weren't walking in a relationship with Jesus. And so all those things that they thought were good for Jesus, the things that they thought were good, Jesus says, away from me, evildoers, or you who practice lawlessness. See, we can do a million things in the name of Jesus, but if we're not actually doing them in conjunction with him, and he's not actually beside us, walking alongside of us as we do those things, they aren't anything. They don't mean anything. And in fact, Jesus says that they're lawlessness. Separated from him, lawlessness. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That's the type of relationship we're talking about. Giving up of myself completely so that Jesus Christ can live through me. That has been something we've been talking about as we're called to be disciples, imitate the life and teaching of our Master, who is Jesus Christ. And Paul takes it one step further. I don't even live anymore. Jesus Christ just lives through me. A close relationship. Because here's the thing. When we walk in a close relationship with God, when we know we are in His will, we get to see God allows us to be part of the supernatural in the natural. God allows us to be part of His plan, His purpose in the natural. As we get to Acts chapter 12, and as we've worked through Acts all along, we have seen these men and these women who are serving God, but they're walking in close relationship with Him to accomplish the goal. And He says, "You will be my witnesses to the very ends of the earth." We've been looking at the Apostle Peter and Paul's conversion and Barnabas and all these other guys that have been walking in this close relationship to God, and we've been seeing that people have been added to their numbers daily. But the key is that they were walking in a close relationship to God. And in Acts chapter 12, we see the supernatural happening in the natural. Chapter 12, verse 1. And I'm going to read through most of this chapter, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about it. But Acts chapter 12, verse 1, it was both this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. And when he saw this was met with approval from the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. And so what is happening here is he's actually had the brother of John, the guy who wrote the Gospel of John, he's had his brother killed by the sword. He's arrested Peter during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This was a feast that lasted for 7 days. Passover is one of the 24-hour periods in those 7 days. And he's handed him over to be guarded by four guards, four squadrons of four guards each, all the time. He's an important guy that Herod keeps under lock and key. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. This is a great opportunity to talk about how prayer changes things. How prayer is important. How seeking God to help us in times of need is so important. The church is earnestly praying for Peter as he is in prison. The night before Herod, verse 6, the night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said. And the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals," and Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself. And then they went through it. And when they walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. It's pretty supernatural, right? Herod wanted Peter so badly that he had him sleeping between two guards. I like to picture them as overweight, snoring people, sweating and gross. And Peter chained by two chains in between them, somehow sleeping in this mess. And an angel appears to him. "Get up." Boom. Chains fall off. "Come with me, follow me, put on your clothes, let's go." He's walking out and the gates are opening and he's thinking to himself, "This is a pretty cool vision. Can't wake up, Lord, and wait for this to happen." No, Peter, it's happening right now. In verse 11, Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen." When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the door at the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was overcome with joy. She ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter is at the door." Here's Peter. He's just walked out of prison, out of the clutches of the sweaty, overweight guards. And he's walked to this house and he's knocked on the door. And the servant comes to him, recognizes his voice, leaves him outside and runs up the stairs. He's like, "Hey, wait a second, door. I just came out." Like this, I picture this like one time I had Zeke in the car with me, and he locked the door with the keys inside of it, and I'm yelling at him, "Push this one down, this one, this button down. No, no, not that one, this one." Eventually, after a lot of hand slapping and horn honking and light flashing, the door's open. Oh gosh. She runs up the door. She hears, she runs back in excitement and leaves him locked outside. He's like, "What? They might be after me. Let me in." But Peter kept knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and told them about and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. He says, "Tell James and the other brothers and sisters about this." And then he left for another place. When we get to walk in close relationship with Jesus Christ, the supernatural can become natural. We get to see things accomplished in and through us that we would never get to see. And some say, "Yeah, but these guys were apostles, the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul, James, John. These guys were the apostles," but the Bible itself tells us that they were ordinary men. In Acts chapter 4, John and Peter are brought before the Sanhedrin and they say, "There is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. There's only one person by which we must be saved. His name is Jesus Christ." And the Bible says that when they saw that these were uneducated, ordinary men, they knew that they must have been with Jesus. They knew that they must have been with Jesus. What separates them is the fact that they had been in close relationship with Jesus Christ. And that relationship is not gone because Jesus no longer walks the earth. He asks and he gives it freely to anybody who wants it. He wants us to walk in such a close relationship with him that we get to be part of his plan to reconcile the world, to see people come to know the truth of Jesus Christ. That we get to be part of the supernatural here in the natural now. But only when we walk in that relationship with him. Only when we seek that intimate, loving relationship. The Bible says that if we love Jesus, we would obey his commands. And if we love Jesus and we trust Jesus, then it's easy to obey the commands. It's hard to trust in somebody if you don't love them and you don't get to walk with them and get to know them every single day. That's a hard person to love. I'll invite the worship team to come back up. You might be asking yourself, How do I enter into a relationship? How does one go about finding a relationship like that? How does somebody enter into a close relationship with Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you to go home today and you say like the prophet Isaiah says, "Here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, send me." And then each day you wait in fellowship to hear God's voice as he instructs you to take the next step in your life. Each day we listen to God's voice, we get to grow closer to him. And every day in fellowship with God, we wait for his leading. And that's a hard thing to do because it's not always an instant leading. But I can guarantee you that if you put in the time to ask God to speak to you every day, he will speak to you. If we put in time to know his word and to look at it and study it, he will speak to us. This is what Jesus did. Jesus, as our example, this is what he did. He walked in close relationship with the Father. With his Father. Listen to his words in John chapter 14, verse 10. He says, "Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father working in me, who is doing his work." It is the Father who is working in me, living in me, who is doing the work. Don't we want that relationship with Jesus Christ? Don't we want to know that God is walking with us in everything that we do and everything that we pursue? Don't we want to be part of the supernatural here in the natural now? Because I do. Let's pray. Father, we want to give you thanks again, Lord, for your word. We want to give you thanks again for your relationship with us. We want to give you a thanks again, Father, because you saved us. Help us, Lord, to walk in a relationship with you that is pleasing to you, that is honoring to you, that we hear your voice and we move in obedience for you, Father. We want to see your work done through us. We want to be part of it. You've invited us to be part of it, and we want to be part of it. So we thank you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.